Well, I love my Fraserlands family. This is really a great opportunity for Agnes and I to be with you. We were eager to arrive, and we actually arrived a little early this morning so we could actually do a prayer walk around the outside of your building. True confessions, I never made the whole prayer walk around your building because it's on so many levels. I got lost. I kept bumping into a dead end. But anyway, you're well prayed for this morning. And this is what I prayed for you as my church family this morning. I prayed, oh God, would you, by the power of your Spirit, rain down on our Fraserlands congregation the incredible, overwhelming, unconditional love of God the Father? That if any of you have arrived and you feel a little lost in your spirit, or maybe a little fearful or a little overwhelmed, that even in this moment you would feel the overwhelming embrace of the love of God the Father. And then I prayed, with the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to shower down on this congregation, I want to declare to you this morning, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Isn't that not good? That's like incredible. And I just want to declare to you, if you're living in the shadow place, come out of the shadows and know the forgiveness and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I said in the first service, I got really excited. If I'd had better shoes, I think I would have run around your church, but I didn't have great shoes on. So anyway, this is what I prayed. I prayed, would the incredible power of the Holy Spirit descend on this church? In fact, I know it's not really good to talk about fire right now in British Columbia. I get that. And so I prayed, oh God, would you sort of eliminate the fires that are burning in British Columbia? But could you start some spiritual fires? Wouldn't it be cool? Just in ways in which your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, would descend upon our congregations and fire us up with fresh passion and fresh vision. And I was audacious enough to pray this for you this morning, that every place you put your foot, demons would have to flee. Because they would recognize that the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is at work in you. And so, you know, you're 24 years old, but you're like a baby. You're starting all over again. Isn't that cool? And so the message I want to bring to you this morning is, what is it that God is calling you to do? In this new opportunity of independence, in this new incredible changing world around you, I mean, we've got the river complexes that are coming up, springing up just a little ways from here. Who would have known? Well, God knew, right, Abe? You know, God knew that this congregation would have a strategic part to play in bringing people to Jesus. And so my heart and my soul for you this morning is simply this. I am inviting you. I am compelling you. I am daring you to be on mission with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But here's the truth. Fraserlands Church does not need better methods. You don't even need better strategies, and you don't even need a more compelling vision. All of those are wonderful things, but I'm going to dare to say to you today, what is desperately needed in Fraserlands Alliance Church is this: men and women who are full of the Holy Spirit and power. That's what people are longing for in our churches. That's what people are longing for in our communities. And so I'm going to dare you today, if that's okay. I'm going to dare you to move to the edge of your seat. And the context of my message to you this morning is simply this, that you would be filled with the Holy Spirit, that you would be overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit, that you would be immersed in the Holy Spirit, and that God would unleash you as a vibrant, faith-filled, passionate congregation to reach your community in Jesus' name. And you know what? God has given you some amazing leaders for such a season as this. And I'm going to step out a little bit here and just simply say, can I invite you to show your appreciation to your leaders, your pastoral team? They are amazing. We love you. I mean, I'm a hugger by nature, and Pastor Abe doesn't run from me. This is a really good thing. I want to invite you to take your Bibles, and I want to invite you to turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, beginning at verse 19. And for those worship team leaders who led us so well this morning, what a rich invitation you gave us to sit at the feet of Jesus. Isn't that really what we long for? Isn't that what our hearts cry for? John chapter 20, beginning at verse 19. Hear the word of the Lord. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were gathered together behind locked doors for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them. Can you imagine that moment? The disciples had seen Jesus crucified. They had seen him put in a tomb. And all of their aspirations of the coming kingdom of God evaporated in a moment. They were lost. They were demoralized. They were gathering together out of fear. And as they were behind locked doors, all of a sudden, the risen Lord comes and stands in their midst. Don't you wish you were there? Can I declare to you, Fraserlands Alliance Church, Jesus is standing in our midst. And when Jesus enters into the room, everything changes. Fear-filled disciples become faith-filled missionaries in the presence and the power of the resurrected Lord. And Jesus speaks, "Peace be with you." And he shows them his hands and his side. And all of a sudden, this room filled with depression and darkness is now filled with hilarity and joy. It is the Lord. And Jesus speaks again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." And can you imagine in the disciples at that moment thinking that the risen Lord is among us, the commission has been given, as the Father sent me, so I'm sending you. Open the doors and unleash us on the world. But Jesus pauses. He takes a deep breath and he breathes on them. And he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Father, in this moment, when we are gathered in this place, and we declare this to be holy ground, and Lord, I look at the faces of this congregation, and there is life here, there is joy here, there is vision here, there is passion here. And God, I'm asking in these moments as we chat together that there would be an unleashing of that. That, oh Lord, you would create in this congregation, this Fraserlands congregation, a deep, overwhelming thirst for you, Jesus. And that, oh God, we'd be filled again today, the fullness of your Spirit. And so, God, we choose to sit at your feet. We choose to be overwhelmed and intoxicated by your presence for the sake of the world. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I began a ministry over 30 years ago, and I was the assistant pastor in a very conservative congregation out east, and we did communion once a month, and we did it the very same way every time. The senior pastor would lead communion, and I would assist him, and then all of our elders would work with our congregation, and at the very end, we had the very same protocol. The senior pastor would lead out, and I would dutifully follow behind him, and then all of our elders would follow behind me, and we were kind of like the Keystone Cops. You know, we kind of walk up the center aisle like this, and then we would greet everybody at the back of the church. Well, there was a microphone like this that kind of hung over top of the communion table, and communion had gone exceptionally well this particular Sunday. The senior pastor was leading out. I was leading out behind him. And my foot actually got caught in the cord connected to the microphone. And I tripped and fell forward. And the microphone swung around and hit the elder behind me in the throat. And there was a huge crash. But that wasn't the worst of it. He lost his balance and fell into the next elder, who fell into the next elder, who fell into the next elder. And there beside the communion table was a large pile of spiritual leadership. I learned a very valuable lesson that day, that the steps of a leader have a direct impact on those who follow. Every one of you in this congregation is a leader. God has called you to have influence on those around you. So the question I'm asking you this morning is, what kind of influence are you having? What kind of outflow into the community is part of the Fraserlands Church? And I want to say to you that the outflow of this church is really contingent on the inflow of the power of the Holy Spirit in your lives. And I'm going to declare it again, what our churches need is not better strategies, not more articulate methods, not even a more compelling vision. They need men and women who know what it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit and with power. A.B. Simpson, the founder of the Christian Missionary Alliance, stated it this way. He said, Jesus framed this whole conversation around the reality that we can do nothing without the power of the Holy Spirit. And there as he breathes on his disciples, it was really a foretaste of what would come in Acts chapter 2 when the outpouring of the Holy Spirit would grip these disciples and make them into revolutionaries for the kingdom of God. Simpson, the founder of the Christian Missionary Alliance, put it this way. He said, we need a larger baptism of the Holy Spirit. There are capacities of the human spirit none of us has ever yet begun to realize. New baptisms awaken dormant powers that we did not know that we possess. He went on to say that the message given to the Christian Missionary Alliance is a message steeped in the Holy Spirit, a message that leads men and women to seek the fullness of the Holy Spirit without exaggeration, without fanaticism, without unscripturalness of any kind, all that power can be and yet with a sound mind. If I was ever going to get a tattoo, I think that would be a great tattoo. All that power can be and yet with a sound mind. And so as Simpson gathered together at the very nucleus of the Christian Missionary Alliance in that dusty, dingy dance hall in New York City with seven other people, he said they thrust themselves upon the power of the Holy Spirit. He opened the Word of God, and this is what he declared. It is not by might, it is not by power, but it is by my Spirit, thus says the Lord. And the fire of God fell upon them. And a movement began that spanned to the outermost parts of the world. Within 10 short years, over 600 young men and women went to some of the most difficult places, like the Congo, like Tibet, and many of them never returned to the shores of North America. Why did they go? Because they were men and women full of the Holy Spirit and power. Why do we go today? We're sending out 24 new missionaries to some of the most difficult places of the world. And I'm pleased to say to you as a Fraserlands congregation, these are men and women full of the Holy Spirit and full of an undaunted boldness to reach the nations of the world. That's what I want for you. That's what I want, to be alive and revolutionary in this congregation. Because here is the truth. Mission without deeper life will only lead to humanitarianism. But I would say that deeper life without mission actually leads to fanaticism. But deeper life with mission leads to revolution. And if there ever is a time we needed revolution in the Christian Missionary Alliance, it is now. Boris Pasternak, a great Russian novelist, said this. He said, it isn't upheavals or revolutions that clear the way for a better day. It is someone's soul inspired and ablaze. And so as I go around speaking to Alliance churches, I say, oh God, just start some fires in our people. Inspire them at the core. Unleash them to be revolutionaries for the King of Kings and for the Lord of Lords. So here's my heart to you as my family. Use whatever term you wish. Filling of the Spirit, fullness of the Spirit, baptism of the Spirit, deeper life, higher life, fuller life, victorious life. The key reality is that God is calling you as the Fraserlands congregation into a defining experience where you encounter a fresh outpouring of Christ-revealing, heart-reviving, hallelujah, sin-defeating, and boldness-producing power. So here is the invitation. We give ourselves to Him and He takes us. Oh, we bring an empty hand and He fills it. We are the capacity and He is the supply. We are the temple and He occupies it. We are the channel and He flows through it. Let us receive into every pore and every fiber of our being. Let every cord and every member be a channel of His indwelling and His inworking. Tozer goes on to say this, though, and here is what I believe is our fundamental challenge. He says, one of the characteristics that marks the average church today is actually a lack of anticipation. Christians, whenever they meet, do not expect anything unusual to happen, and consequently, only the usual happens, and that usual is as predictable as the setting of the sun. He says, today, we need a fresh spirit of anticipation that springs out of the promises of God. We must declare war on the mood of non-expectation. Boy, I like that. Fraserlands Alliance Church, I dare you in Jesus' name to declare war on the spirit of non-expectation. Why don't, when we come together, come together with childlike faith? Did you see the faces of your children? Are they not amazing? This next generation needs an encounter with the manifest presence of Jesus, and they better be able to see that in mom and dad and in grandpa and grandma. They better know that we still actually believe we serve a supernatural God, amen? That God is still at work, that God is still transforming people's lives. And so we come together, and that's when we see the beauty and the wonder of the Lord's presence among us. So here's what I want to share with you in just a few moments. I want to talk to you about bold faith. I want to talk to you about bold renewal. And then I want to talk to you about bold action. I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 3 and Acts chapter 4. These are very compelling texts. Acts chapter 3 and Acts chapter 4, where we actually get to see what does a spirit-filled person actually look like at ground level? What does it mean when we are filled to overwhelming? I mean, A.B. Simpson said it this way. He said, oh, I thought I was filled with the Holy Spirit, but he said I wasn't filled to overwhelming. I wasn't immersed in the Holy Spirit. He said it this way. It's like I had a little bit of the ocean in the bottle, but God actually wanted to put the bottle into the ocean. And I wonder if today in this conversation, there's something deep in your soul that says, I just want my capacity to receive more, just be expanded a little bit. In other words, maybe you've already experienced the fullness of the Holy Spirit, but maybe what God is doing in your souls today is saying, how about a little bit more? It is not wrong to ask for more, amen? It's really okay. It's okay to come to God and say, I just wanna maybe be plunged into the ocean, overwhelmed, immersed in the power of your Spirit. Men and women immersed in the power of the Holy Spirit show an incredible courage and a holy boldness. In Acts chapter 3, we see Peter and John going up to the temple. It's 3 in the afternoon. They're going there to pray. And as they pass through the gate beautiful, they encounter a man who's been crippled since birth. And there's this wonderful connection that all of a sudden happens. The man looks at them, they look at the man, and then Peter actually says to the man, look at us. Now, I don't know about you, but if you're begging and if you're looking for resources to simply keep you alive for another day and somebody actually says to you, look at me, I'm thinking this is a big payday. I'm thinking this is a good deal that's going to happen here. He has no idea how good it's going to get. Because Peter looks at the man and says, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Can you imagine that moment? That this man who's been crippled since birth all of a sudden feels strength into those anemic legs. His muscles go from atrophy to life, and he literally jumps to his feet, absolutely touched by the supernatural healing power of God. In fact, he doesn't stop jumping. He doesn't stop praising God. He is overwhelmed by the power of God's healing. The Alliance has always stood for a belief in supernatural things and in a supernatural God. And so, Fraserlands Alliance Church, do you still believe we serve a supernatural God? God's power to heal, God's power to transform people's lives has not ended. In fact, I believe God is inviting us into a new era of his supernatural power. I got a call from one of the pastors in our church, one of our churches here in Vancouver, who said, David, there has been an outpouring of healing in our church. I said, tell me what happened. He said, well, our elders were reading through James chapter 5 about praying for people and anointing them with oil. And one of our elders said, we've never done that in our church. And another elder said, well, why don't we do that next week? And then a third elder asked the very obvious question, well, what kind of oil should we use? And a fourth elder said, Costco's got great oil. Let's go get some oil from Costco. And so they buy a huge tub of cooking oil from Costco. And the pastor preaches on healing, and they lug this big jug of healing of Costco oil onto the platform, and he invites people to come forward. The entire congregation comes forward. And everybody who's anointed and prayed for is instantly healed in Jesus' name. People with chronic illnesses are delivered in a moment. People with pains and with difficulties, with backs and arms and all kinds of things that they've lived with for years, God instantly healed them in a moment. One woman who had a skin disease, they watched as God reformatted the cells on her skin and made it into that which was beautiful and pristine. I stood in front of this woman with tears rolling down my face. And all she could say over and over again is, God healed me. God healed me. So the cry of my heart is, do we still believe that kind of thing happens? Would it be wonderful in Alliance churches across Canada if that was the norm, not the exception? Now, I know that there are people in this congregation who have sought God for healing, and at this point, God has not healed them. And I understand that it's not about the healing, that it is about the healer, that it is about the glory of God and about the holiness of God. I understand all that, church, but I think we give up too soon. I do. And I think God wants us to have bold faith. And I want to energize you as a congregation to be able to say to people who are broken and devastated and demoralized, not just physically, but spiritually, silver and gold, we don't have that to give you. But what we do have, we give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, be free, breathe, be healed in Jesus' name. That's radical. That's bold faith. So this is how I'm living these days. I began to pray, God, would you just surprise me? And I'm going to invite you to pray this kind of prayer. God, just surprise me. Show up in ways in which I couldn't set in motion, in ways that simply reveal your supernatural power. And you know, you're like me. You look in the mirror and you go, oh man, we're just ordinary people. Isn't that the beauty? Because when we are ordinary people filled with the Holy Spirit of God, we are unstoppable. We become men and women of bold faith. Second, we are called into bold renewal. Imagine this moment now as a crowd begins to gather. They see this man that they've walked past for years and years and years. All of a sudden, he's jumping up and down. He's praising God. And as this crowd begins to gather, Peter thinks it would be a great time to preach. I think it would be a great time to preach. And so Peter says, men of Israel, why do you look so surprised? As if by some means it was our power or our holiness that caused this healing. And then he goes on to declare, it is the God of our fathers. It is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who has shown favor and glory on Jesus. That's the reason that this man stands before you healed today. And then get this, he's right in Jerusalem, the very place where they crucified Jesus. And here is the punchline of his message. This is powerful preaching. You killed the author of life. Well, that's pretty strong. But God has raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of that fact. And then the cry of his heart, oh, men and women of Israel, repent. Turn to God, that your sins may be wiped away, that God would send refreshing. Isn't that what you long for, Fraser Lands? That kind of radical encounter with God? That kind of overwhelming sense of repentance where we turn our hearts back to God and we know that God powerfully wipes away our sins and then he sends this glorious, uncontainable, powerful refreshing on your hearts and on your lives. Oh, bring it on, Jesus. Don't you long for that? That's what I long for in the Christian Missionary Alliance. Oh, God. Would you bring those incredible encounters of renewal to revive your church and to unleash us as men and women of bold faith and bold renewal? Believe it or not, there is a revival that is taking place in Cuba. There are 20 of our Alliance pastors who had this audacious vision. They felt that if they could get people praying 1 hour of 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, for renewal and revival to come to Cuba, that God's outpouring and his blessing would come. Well, it began to spread to other denominations, and when Agnes arrived, we were part of their first annual prayer conference sanctioned by a communist government. This had never happened before. 450 leaders representing 50 different denominations arrived at this prayer conference. And the power of God fell upon these Cubans. It was amazing. And you always know that the power of God has come upon people when the first order of business is repentance. And they began to spontaneously repent for ways that they had mistreated each other, for ways in which they had not served each other. And then they just broke out in washing one another's feet. The Baptists were washing the Pentecostals' feet. The Pentecostals were washing the Baptists' feet. The Alliance was washing everybody's feet. It was glorious. And in that holy moment, the fire of God falls upon them. And they stand to their feet with one united voice, and they began to chant over and over again, Christ for Cuba, Cuba for the nations, Christ for Cuba, Cuba for the nations. And Cuba is now sending out its first missionaries. And do you know where they're going? They're going to the Arab nations of the world, the hardest to reach people group in the world. And this is what I want to say to you as my Fraserlands family. If God can begin a revival, with 20 ordinary leaders who were audacious enough to pray for God's blessing upon their country, that he unleashes a revival from coast to coast in that island nation, that now they are sending their first missionaries out to the Arab nations of the world, then God can start a revival in Canada. Amen? What if he wants to do that here? What if in this moment of new beginning, God has created such an overwhelming thirst in your heart that God is saying, how about here? Which leads me to my last thought, bold action. Peter and John are immediately thrown into prison. The next day, the Inquisition comes, and they are asked a very profound question. By what name or in what power did this healing happen? And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, I love this glorious moment. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, says, men of Israel, if you are asking in what name or by what power that this man stands before you healed, then know this, it is the name of Jesus Christ whom you crucified, but God has raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed today. This is what I love. As they observed this, this is what they said about Peter and John. They took note that these were ordinary, unschooled men. But they were overwhelmed by their boldness. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. That's what I'd love for you as a congregation. That everybody who comes to Fraserland, everybody that connects with people from Fraserlands would say, they're fairly ordinary people, but they must be hanging out with Jesus. There is something so bold about them. There is something so contagious about them. There is something so absolutely Jesus about them. They must be hanging out with Jesus. Now, I feel bad for these religious leaders because the man who has been healed keeps jumping up and down and praising God. And so they reprimand Peter and John and say, we warn you, you can no longer preach in the name of Jesus. And I love the response of Peter. He says, you're going to have to judge whether we should obey you or whether we should obey God. But we can't help but speak about the things that we've seen and we have heard. I would love to unleash our churches, that people would be filled so powerfully with the presence of the living Christ that they couldn't help but speak about Jesus. Wouldn't it be amazing? In the coffee shops, in the places where you work, that every time you open your mouth, you just want to talk about Jesus. Wouldn't that be the incredible marker? We just can't help but talk about the things that we've seen and the things that we've heard. And when they go back to meet with the church and they tell them all that has happened, the church doesn't say, in the midst of persecution, take us out of persecution. The church actually says, oh God, could you give us greater boldness? And the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. I pray every day, oh God, could you bring a shaking to the Christian Missionary Alliance? Would there be such an appetite, such a hunger, that our churches wouldn't just, people wouldn't just be filled individually? Wouldn't it be amazing if we were just filled corporately? What would that look like? All of a sudden we were shaken and we were all filled together with the power of the Holy Spirit. And we launched out of here. Like I always say to people, that the best church services are the ones that you can't wait to leave. Now that may sound really weird. But what if the best church services were the ones where you were so filled with the power of the Spirit? You were so overwhelmed by the incredible power of God that you can't wait to get out to your community. That it's like, let us out. Unlock the doors, Pastor Abe. We're going. Filled with the power of the Spirit. I want to declare something to you that I think is so absolutely amazing these days. That the very strategy that Satan is using today to limit or to negate the power of the church is actually becoming the very strategy that's unleashing the church in Jesus' name. And we're actually seeing this in Iraq today. You hear a lot about Iraq. You hear a lot about ISIS. You hear a lot about war in the Middle East. But I got to tell you, there is an absolute fresh outpouring of God's Spirit in the Middle East like we've never seen before. Now we have four Alliance churches in Iraq. We have one in Baghdad, we have one in Erbil, we have one in Mosul. And Mosul, you know, is in the news because Mosul was overrun by ISIS and our church, literally with hours to spare, fled out of Mosul and ended up in our Erbil church. Now, Mosul, to give you some context, is actually Nineveh. Jonah is buried there. Our pastor in the Arabella Alliance Church is a Ninevite. Thank you, Jonah. It's like amazing. We also have a church in a place known as The Hook. And one of the groups that was totally ravaged by ISIS was a group known as the Yazidis. And they went into their villages and they raped their women and they killed their men and they fled for their very lives and they ended up in a place called The Hook. I was there. I was there with Samaritan's Purse, and we were giving out coats and we were giving out care. And friends, we couldn't give out Bibles, but in Jesus' name, we could let them steal our Bibles. It was wonderful. And so we had a huge table of Bibles and we turn our backs and they would gloriously steal our Bibles and run away. The Yazidis, 650,000 people in northern Iraq, have never, ever heard the name of Jesus Christ until now. Very strategy that Satan uses to defeat the church becomes the very thing that unleashes the power of the church. And so today, for the first time, the Yazidis are reading the Word of God. And we are determined in Jesus' name to start a church among the Yazidis in a place called Duhuk. I met a dentist who had just come to know Christ. He'd only been married for 2 months. And he said, God has called me to leave my dentist practice, and God has called me to serve the church. And when he told his father-in-law, who was a devout Muslim, his father-in-law panicked, actually went to the church and offered them $200,000 not to work with his son-in-law. And that son-in-law courageously went to his father-in-law, and these are the exact words he said. People have come from all over to join ISIS and are now here destroying and killing and bringing fear. But Christians are coming from all over the world, and they are bringing help, love, and hope. Which religion would you choose? I'm going to be a Christian, and I'm going to help them. That's bold action. I stood in front of our church in Arabville. This is a church in a war zone. Bombs are going off in the heart of the city. And yet, I didn't see people who were dismayed. I didn't see people. Nobody was coming to me and saying, oh, David, get us out of Iraq. The Christians in Iraq are saying, oh, David, this is an opportunity for the kingdom of God like we've never seen before. And friends, Muslims are coming to Jesus through dreams and through visions. They are now claiming, our evangelical churches all across the Middle East are claiming it's incredible, 20 million Muslims. Claiming them for Christ. The fastest growing religion right now in Egypt is atheism. And I said, why atheism? Because Muslims are looking at what ISIS is doing and they're saying, if that's Islam, we want nothing to do with it, but they're not ready to convert to Christianity, so they're taking a sabbatical in atheism. But they can't be atheists because they believe there actually is a God. And so now we're seeing them come to Christ by the thousands. So I stood in front of our Arable church. What do you say to a church in a war zone? I just wanted to cry. I said, God loves you. Don't be afraid. Be bold. And friends, the room in which we were meeting was shaken. And I watched these people get filled with the Holy Spirit. Like Abe, it was amazing. All together, they just got filled. There was this incredible downpouring of God's Spirit. And they are speaking the Word of God boldly in a war zone. So Fraser Lands, you're not in a war zone. Well, maybe you are. Maybe it's unseen, but it's real. And maybe today God wants to overwhelm you with His presence. That God wants to fill you with a bold faith. That God wants to bring you to bold renewal. That God wants to unleash you to bold action. And how about if we audaciously claim this community for Jesus? Oh, yes. You know, you are really loved. I couldn't wait to get here. I love this church. I'm not allowed to have favorites. I don't have favorites, but I love you. And every time I'm here, I sense anticipation in the room. I sense hope in the room. So I just wonder if God wants to unleash that right now. I'm going to invite you to stand. When Agnes and I were leaving Cuba, we met with our 20 Cuban leaders. And you know what's really cool? I was actually tall there. It was amazing. It was really amazing. I was like, yeah, my friends, it's wonderful. One of our Cuban leaders held out his hands like this, and he said, David, I want you to imagine in my hands the flame of revival that's come to Cuba. And then he dared me to put my hands out in a similar fashion. And I remember as he gently but intentionally walked towards me, and he put that flame of revival into my hands. And then he said, this is an actual quote. He said, David, could you take this back to Canada? They really need it there. Can you imagine? I took the flame, and I pulled it into my chest, and I said, oh, God, start with me, please. Please renew my heart as a leader. Give me an insatiable thirst for you, Jesus. Fill me to overflowing. See, the greatest gift you can bring today is just thirst. Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. If you believe I am, as the scriptures say, I am, then from your inmost being will flow rivers of living water. By this he spoke of the Spirit. I just kind of feel it in the room. There's thirst here. This is good. This is the moment. So I'm going to give you a gift that comes all the way from Cuba. But it's a pretty daring gift. It's fire. You're not going to be able to contain it. You're not going to be able to control it. It's just a hunger for more of his presence. So I'm going to ask you to put your hands like this. And I'm going to give you a flame. Then I'm going to ask you just to pull it into your chest and say, Spirit of the living God, just fill me. Maybe some of you said, David, I've already been filled. Well, how about if you just say more? That's really okay. How about if you just say today, more? And then the commitment of Jesus, whatever you want. I'm in. No resistance, no holding back. I'm in. So church, all the way from Cuba, the flame of revival, take it. Oh, take it. Take it, church. Way up in the balcony, take it. Oh, take it. Take it. And the place where they were meeting was shaken. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. Jesus, these are precious people. You have brought them into this congregation for such a time as this. And so, Lord, I pray that your manifest presence would fall fresh. And Jesus came and he stood in their midst. And everything changed. Breathe, Jesus, on us, that we may receive the Spirit. Amen.